You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Thursday, 29 May. We've got US PCE price data due 2:30 p.m. This is the Fed's preferred inflation measure to watch. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from MoneyWeb Studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Kieran Whitten from Anchor. Those really excellent Tiger Brand results and a special dividend at the interim stage to boot. And then the Anglo-American demerger. Sean de Villiers from Ashburton Investments on Roynet results. And then Celo Sekela from Absa CIB. Their Q2 2025 prospectus, GDP, inflation, and interest rates. We'll get all of that from him. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb, Gold Rush-backed consortium wins lottery, but starting date remains uncertain. Announcement comes after months of litigation by one of the other bidders. News 24, Chinese automakers may be keen to buy Nissan's SA plant up here in Pretoria. I don't know, is Nissan a seller in that point? Morning markets, US was red, S&P down 0.6%, NASDAQ off 0.5%. The East is green, Sydney 0.25% higher, Tokyo 1.7% up, Hong Kong 0.8% higher, and Tencent just a tenth of a percent up. Commodities are mixed. Gold futures down 3,299. Brent 65.64. Platinum 1,079, which is a dollar up, and palladium is down at 977. The rand 17.96. Bitcoin 108,200. And top 40 opening call, a green open 620 points, or around 0.7% higher.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Training now with Kieran Whitten from Anchor. Kieran, appreciate the early morning. Let's start with those Tiger Brand numbers. I got to say, Tiger Brands of the failed adventures with Dangote, of Listerosis, of always saying it's about premium product, they've changed things around. New CEO has absolutely shaken up the business. And my thought was, those were strong numbers with a chunky special dividend at their interim stage. Your take on Tiger Brands?
Good morning, Simon. Good to be on the show again. And yeah, like you said, a really good dividend and a very good result. And we've seen a few half years of good results in a very tough environment. And I think for many people, you can think of Tiger Brands as the Unilever or Nestle of South Africa, who does dominate the shelf space in many of our shops. But you have seen a big shift from management towards optimizing its portfolio and selling down on a number of businesses that is deeming to be non-core and looking to improve profitability, which, of course, we as investors love to hear. And yeah, it was a decent result off a pretty low base, so it has to be said. But I think the key thing we took out of it was the selling out of stakes in two more of their businesses, and that helped to bring in $4.3 billion. And their balance sheet is in a very strong net cash position now, which did help them to declare that special dividend of 12 Rand. And subsequently, there's also big ongoing share buybacks, which really the focus on return of capital has been very well liked by the market. It has seen the share run quite hard. And yeah, the new CEO is doing all the right things and earnings are recovering nicely off a low base. And when management does have levers like this to pull the results, can be very exciting. And it is a share that we are overweight in our local portfolios. And yeah, in a tough local environment, we do have a strict approach on the sort of companies that we like to invest in. Tiger Brands does definitely fit that. And yeah, still happy to be holders of this company.
Yeah, I mean, a total return of the last year, including dividend, over 70%. But it is, as you say, it is not expensive by metrics. And I mean, kudos to management. It's been a spectacular turnaround. Another story, which is the big news, the Anglo-American demerger of Anglo-American Platinum is happening. Volterra Platinum, JSE code will be VAL. As I understand, Kieran, that's all effective at the close tomorrow.
Yeah, Simon. So it will all be happening quite quickly. It's going to be listing on the London Stock Exchange. And then, yeah, the new ticker will start trading from tomorrow, like you said. Mm-hmm. But it's a very interesting story. There's lots of corporate action around Anglo American at the moment, and it is obviously part of their strategic shift that was announced last year after BHP became interested in acquiring them. And Anglo's has said it's going to look to focus on iron ore and copper, where it sees better long-term value. And this is also part of their strategy where they're still looking to sell down on De Beers, which, of course, has been their loss-making diamond division for quite a while. But back to Valterra, Anglo American will retain a 19.9% stake that it will be selling down on after 90 days. So there could be some selling pressure there. But, you know, they did do something quite similar with Thungela. I'm sure our local investors will remember. And that did turn out quite well for investors. So let's see if the same thing will happen. But it has to be said, Simon, that at Anchor, we still see the structural trends against platinum. Mm-hmm. And at this point, obviously, despite a relatively good year for platinum, off a low base, we are still happy to stay on the sidelines for these sort of companies.
Yeah, there certainly is a structural issues in the PGM space. Notwithstanding, the PGM, the Platinum Gold World Council says we'll be in deficit this year, but we're not seeing it in the pricing. We'll leave it there. Kieran Whitten, Anchor, always appreciate the early morning time. And that's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. Back to Tiger Brands. Is this a stock to hold in your portfolio? Kieran says they have an overweight position, and that was strong numbers. Your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The Standard Flexible Income Fund delivers capital preservation and consistent top quartile inflation beating returns. Let your money keep working with Standard Asset Management even after you retire.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Charl de Villiers, Head of Equities at Ashburton Investments. Charl, appreciate the early morning. The Roynet results, revenue down a little bit. A lot of moving parts here. I want to touch initially on the defense business. There were some delayed contracts, and that perhaps has hurt it. But this is a strong sector for them, and with a fairly healthy-looking order book into the future.
Yes, morning, and morning to all your viewers. Talking about the defense business, which has traditionally been quite a volatile sector for them. As your viewers might know, they obviously like them. They've got main sectors, which is engineering, and then a kind of RCT sector, which is a combination of Nashua and more generic RCT type IT business. And then the defense business, which has also got a number of or several different businesses underneath that as well. But I mean, defense by nature has been lumpy, and their fused business within defense itself has been very, very profitable over the years, but also very lumpy. So this result we saw was disappointing on that front again, in that they're talking to a delay in some of the orders, but are guarding that the defense business and their fused business, that sector will be ahead year on year by the end of the year. So I think their visibility on their order book going into the second half sounds, by virtue of their guidance, that it's still they're going to pick up a lot of lost ground into the second half of their financial year. So, I think that's maybe yes, disappointing, but I think the guidance gives you a little bit of surety there that things are not falling apart completely. But I think overall, I was somewhat disappointed in this result. I think there were a few areas of the business that investors would have been wanting or hoping to start kind of almost the run rate within those sectors would have wanted to see that actually picking up, given that the engineering business would want to start seeing a little bit more pull through from what we're seeing in gross fixed capital formation. Mm-hmm. Lots of talk about transmission lines in South Africa, et cetera. And then they've got two businesses within their RCT business, that RQ business and Plus One X, that kind of had been combined, et cetera. And especially the electrical engineering business hasn't really, shown a great amount of trajectory and actually gone backwards into this first half of the year, which to me was a bit of a negative surprise.
Exactly. They've got that cables and infrastructure. And a lot of folks look at Rynet and think, ooh, cables. And these are the giant transmission cables that run power from power stations and substations into cities. How's that doing? Because that a lot of folks look at this and think, you know, we understand Eskom. We understand the massive need for transmission cables in South Africa. Are they pulling through on it in the immediate? Or is this still sort of, I don't know, something that will come at some point?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what I was alluding to earlier. I think it's kind of been a bit of a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow that investors have been kind of waiting to start coming through. But I mean, I would caution investors to not misunderstand the electrical engineering business. Yes, while the overhead cables that, you know, Eskom is using to build transmission lines is a part of their product suite, the actual a bigger part of their product suite is actually probably the high voltage underground cables that the municipalities use to, you know, join different substations and the like. And that's probably where they make more of their margin, as well as the low voltage cables. And, you know, unless we've got decent run rate on those more generic cables that the municipalities use, et cetera, I mean, I think I would say that these overhead transmission lines would be really the cherry on the cake, that when they can get those orders in, that can really fill up the factory, and the factory utilization can really, you know, be running a lot more optimally. And then, you know, those that understand manufacturing will know that when your factory is running full, there's a whole lot of operating leverage that comes through into that business, and you should see some much better margins than we've seen over the last decade or two, where there's been a hiatus in spend from municipalities and from even Eskom on the overhead line side. So I think there's a lot of promise there that's coming. We know that the tenders are out for those overhead lines. On Bob Roynet, being a local manufacturer, one would imagine would be standing in very good stead to win a very good chunk of that, together with probably Aberdeer, which is now no longer owned by Ultron, but now owned by Chinese owners, etc. So one would imagine that they would get a decent chunk of that, but by the sounds of things, that definitely hasn't come through yet.
A quick last question. I mean, taking all of this into account, and there are some other moving parts, most definitely, is it offering value? Because the stock is down. I mean, over the last year, it's down some 13%. Most of that pressure coming so far in 2025. The valuations don't look stretched, but is it worth an opportunity here?
Yeah, well, I mean, our view is it is cheap. We don't own it in our funds at the moment. Definitely something we've been looking at. And I think as the share price has underperformed into this result, it will start looking more interesting again. We'll have to dust off our valuation and see at some point. But, I mean, definitely it's not expensive. The balance sheet's very conservative, as it has been for quite some time. There's a good cash return component that comes back to shareholders from the business. You know, I think you've seen now the renewables business and the battery storage business has been, has probably also disappointed. Obviously, at one point in time with load shedding, that was kind of meant to be the white knight. And I think that's definitely gone onto the back foot. And now they've actually made the decision to exit the battery business permanently, which, you know, I don't think it's too big in the bigger scheme of things. But it's obviously a negative that's been dragging results. So that shouldn't be there going forward. But even so, the Lumika business that they're doing for kind of more long-term alternative power solutions, et cetera, is more also a long-term game where, you know, the structure of those agreements are that there's a whole lot of funding that goes into those agreements initially, and there's not a lot of profit that comes through the income statement in the initial years as you pay down the finance portion of that. And then as later, as that starts getting paid down, in theory, there should be a bit of a J-curve there in terms of income statement profitability. So, yeah, we see value, definitely, but this result, in my mind, was actually disappointing. I would like to have seen better run rate in electrical engineering from the traditional cables business, not the transmission business, as well as even Nashia and RCT, which have not also shot the lights out, given probably the weaker SA macro. So, watching it carefully at this point in time. We'll hear from them today around the outlook a little bit more as to what's happening. And, perhaps if we get more confidence in what's happening around municipal spend, around, redoing the networks, municipal networks, et cetera, and maybe SA Macro improving a little bit, that definitely wouldn't be the worst place to be in our mind.
And get better insight there. I think that and the webcast at 9 o'clock, folks can find details on the sense. Charles de Villiers, Head of Equities, Ashburton Investments, appreciate the early morning. The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with Stanlib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with Selo Sakele. He's from Absa CIB, the South African second quarter 2025 quarterly perspectives out of Absa. Selo, appreciate the early morning time. We've got GDP Q1 data coming out on Tuesday, 3rd of June. That's next week. What's your and your team's expectations for GDP for the year of 2025?
Thank you for having me. Good morning to you and your listeners. So we are expecting GDP to rise by 0.2% on a quarter-on-quarter seasonally adjusted basis Q1. But we also have a separate model that's telling us that it looks like risks to the GDP figure are significantly on the downside, with that model showing us minus 0.1. So you know that today is also an MPC day. I mean, in the last MPC meeting, they penciled in plus 0.4 for Q1. So indications are we likely to have a quite muted Q1 GDP print.
And for the year, you've downgraded quite markedly for the year of 2025, down to sort of 1% for the GDP, which is the expectations coming into the year were not the 3%, but were certainly fairly markedly higher.
Yeah, so expectations were quite positive, and if you remember, I think we were one of the houses that were quite a bit cautious. Optimistic. So we had 2.1. Some people have had even as much as 3. But the way developments were, they were in the direction of us revising our GDP growth forecast down to just 1% this year. And the main reason here is mainly because of the less friendly external environment, as well as subdued business confidence due to external environment as well as our own internal own goals.
And you expect inflation. You're looking for inflation 3.3% for the year. That's at the bottom of the range, and to be clear, also below what the governor references, which is the midpoint, which is 4.5. That's good news for rate cuts, but you're only looking for 2 cuts, 1 today, perhaps.
Yeah, so we think that inflation will be around 3.3% this year. As you correctly pointed out, for us, that at least says that there is some room to cut. That's why we have penciled in a 25 basis points interest rate cut today, for today. And then we have also penciled in another in the July meeting. So why 50 basis points, right? Why not more? Look, we are looking at a sub here that's quite cautious, right? And you are looking at a sub actually that, yes, right now they are targeting 4.5, but they are looking to target an even lower number. And it's a sub here that's unlikely to move by big magnitudes, especially in this uncertain environment. And then, if I want to be a bit more technical, a 50 basis point cut over this period would leave interest rate at a neutral level, right? At that level, the interest rate is neither stimulatory or hitting economic activity. So we think that's a comfortable level for interest rate.
Get your point. Okay, so another 50 points. I think consumers would like more, but I like your view. It is a neutral rate, and that's certainly probably where the MPC wants to get up. And of course, there are talks around whether we should have a different inflation target. Maybe it should just be 3%. We'll leave it there. Selo Sakele, Absa CIB. Appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. Yesterday I was chatting with Jimmy Muyaha, talking Harmony as they get into copper with that 1 billion acquisition. Asked if you thought this was a good move. Half said yes, great diversity. 40% time will tell. The rest were saying an odd mix of metals. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nubuchlet, Nicole Masekla, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. More copper.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.